Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, and as you recall, yesterday we learned in the Mishnah about the inyan of a behemah misukenes, that if a person were to shecht a behemah which is misukenes, what's the definition of a behemah misukenes? The Mishnah didn't tell us, but the Gemara told us at the very end of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, the owner of the animal stands the animal up, and the animal refuses to stand, but rather collapses underneath its own weight. And you try to pick it up again, and it doesn't go. So you see the behemoth is misukenes. It's very, very sick. It does not have any of the signs of tarfus. In other words, Mitchum, another 4 days, we're going to have the Mishnah Daf Membeis, 18 treifas, doesn't have any of those. Everything is perfect. The lungs are perfect. The heart is perfect. Alles is git. But the behemah, unfortunately, is misukenes lomus. So, is this behemah kosher or not? So, our Mishnah told us the shoichet has to go and check whether there are simone pirchus. What are pirchus? That the behemah keeps on showing life and vitality even after its passing, so to speak. More in fact, at a three-way machloikis, are the simoni pirchus at the outset of the shechita, the middle of the shechita, the end of the shechita. What are simoni pirchus? We had a three-way machloikis in our Mishnah. Really? First man, the Yama said that after the shechita is over, you have to go and take a check of the yad v'regel. Yad v'regel is the foreleg and the hind leg of the animal. Are they jerking around back and forth? Reb Lezer says, no, the simon pirchus is zinuk. Zinuk means that the behemah allows a huge amount of blood to come up from its goroin and overflows the entire kosle hatzavar, the walls of the mokum shechita. And finally, we had the chachamim that were a little bit more mekel, and they said you don't have to have yad viregel like the Tanakama. Yad oiregel is sufficient, or to kashkesh biznova, that it's moving and wiggling back and forth, waving back and forth its tail. This is happening after or during the time that the behemah is now being geshachted. The fact that it shows so much life is the chasimin that the behemah, even though it's misukenes, it didn't die pre the end of the shechita. It lived at least until the shechita was over, and therefore it is a kosher animal. So that's basically what we learned yesterday. Now, back on the bottom of the Amud Beis, Shmuel and Rav are going to refine and expand a little bit on this inyan of Pirchus, that the behemoth still shows signs of vitality, even though it is a misukenes. So Ashkechinu, Shmuel the Talmidim of Rav, Shmuel met some of the Talmidim of Rav, and Omalahu, my Omar Rav misukenes. What chidush, what Tavar Halacha did Rav say about the inyan of misukenes? Omrelay, so they told him, Hachi Omar Rav. So Rav expanded the category of Pirchus and said, if the animal is Goya, Rashi says at the top, Ekes, it makes a very, very deep guttural sound. Or Heitila Rei, it went to the bathroom whilst the Shechita is ongoing. The Kishkisha, the Ozna, and it started waving back and forth or wiggling back and forth its oizen, its ear. Oh, so you see the animal still has vitality and life to it. How is that pirchus? And therefore the animal is kosher. Omal Husu, when Shmuel heard that, he said, it's trichaleli abba lazuzi oine. Now before we get to what does lazuzi oine means, why did Shmuel refer to Rav as abba? So there's a machloikis here between Rav and Shmuel. Not Rav and Shmuel, between Rashi and Tosis. Rashi on the second line says, Abba, the Rav havikar li Shmuel hochi. Shmuel referred to Rav as Abba, mishum kovay. Therefore, he referred to him as father. Lahavil alfi abdolis, as you know by some of the Christians, they refer to the pastor, to the preacher as father. Father John, Father Joe, Father Shmo, whatever his name is. Here too, lahavil alfi abdolis, Shmuel referred to Rav as being Abba, his father. However, Tosis brings from the Oruch that in fact it's the other way around, and that is that Rav's real name was Abba, Elsewhere, the Gemara refers to him as Abaricha, and the reason why people called Rav Rav, because he was Rabban Shal Yisrael, he was the Gadol Hadar. But his real name, in fact, was Abba, and since Shmuel and Abba were colleagues, Shmuel referred to him by his first name as Abba. So as Machloikis, what's the pshat of Abba the Gemara, if you just want to see the Toises on the left-hand side, the second Toises, Itzrich Leili Abba Pirish Bekuntus Shmuel HaVekori Hachi L'Rav Bishvil Meloshim Kovoid. Oh, father. L'Ba'arach Birish Shekach Shemoy. That was his name. So why did they call him Rav? Rav Yikoyin Oisei Al Shem Chashivusei His Godless Batoyer. K'moy B'chol Duchdi HaVekori Le Rebbe Rebbe Yudan Nossi. Throughout Shas, we refer to Rebbe Yudan Nossi as Rebbe. Why do we refer to Rebbe Yudan Nossi? Because he was also Rabban Shal Yisrael. Because Shmuel and Rav were contemporaries, were peers, Shmuel would go and call Rav with the name Abba. Okay, so all of that is fascinating, but let's get back to our Gemara. And Shmuel is now being a little bit critical of Rav's psak on Pirchas as reported by Rav's Talmidim. And he said, does Rav really need that the animal has to lazuze to wiggle only its ears? In other words, it's not easy. Let's try, we as human beings, let's see if you can go wiggle your ears without, of course, touching it with your hand. Very, very difficult. In fact, perhaps impossible. Maybe there's some people that are trained, they can do that, but your normal person cannot move his ears. Behema, similarly, l'havdol, also doesn't normally move its ears. So you're saying it has to be able to wiggle its ears to show that it has vitality. Is that really the mark of Pirchus? That it shows that it has so much life to it that it has to be able to move its ear. I said, Shmuel, that sounds a little bit far-fetched, a little bit remote. Shani Oimer, I make a much simpler rule. Kosheina Dvorim Shehamisa Oisa. Now that's our girsa. That girsa seems to be a little bit imperfect. Rather, if you see on the side, you have another girsa, which is Kosha Oisa Dvorim Shein Hamesa Oisa. In other words, it turns it around a little bit. Your regular macy, a regular animal, does a bit of jerking, even when it's not misukenes. Any regular, normal animal. We had this already at the end of the Mishnah. You'll remember that the Mishnah said that the fact that an animal does certain wiggling and certain jerking, and not a simen, that has anything to do with with misukenes. Rather, if you look at the Mishnah back of yesterday, about 7-8 lines in, the Mishnah said, "Behima daka shekoshti yoda v'lo yechzira psula she'ena elohitzos nefesh bulvad." The fact that the behima daka did a pshitas yad, it means its foreleg was originally bent over, and now it spread it out and made it stretched out. It didn't, however, wasn't machzir. It didn't return back to its bent position. This is standard. A regular, normal animal does that type of thing. That that we had in our Mishnah, if you look at the last Rashi, Rashi in the Mishnah of yesterday, if the animal is misukenes, that's normal. A regular animal, when it says nafsha, it makes a certain degree of bending motions. And so therefore, if it only is poshet yad leachzira, and the animal, of course, was misukenes, those is gunish. So therefore, what our Gemara is telling us is the same thing. Says now, Shmuel, what is the general rule? The general rule is called she'oise dvarim she'ein ha'mesa oise, that the misukenes does things that your standard, normal mesa does not do. Then you know that this misukenes is kosher. So getting back to the Gemara, it's not shani oimer kosher einoi dvarim shamisa oisa, but it's rather kosher oisa dvarim she'ein hamesa oisa. That this particular animal does things above and beyond what a normal mesa does. So now you can ask me, my ninu dvarim shamisa oisa, not mesa, it's really shahamesa oisa. What are those normal things that a regular animal does? And here it's so special to show that it still has life and vitality and is not a misukenes. I heard this general rule, and I believe that this is what Shmuel was getting at. If initially at the time of the Shechita, the foreleg of the animal was kfufa, was bent over, upashtasa, and then as a result of the Shechita, the animal now stretched that limb out, davar shemeisa oisa, that's what a normal animal does. The previously, before the Shechita, the animal perhaps was resisting the Shechita, or maybe it was just having a good time, or whatever. So it bent over its foreleg. The fact that you see at the time of Shechita, beginning, middle, end, it goes and stretches out its foreleg, thus is garnished. Why? Because that is standard procedure. That's normal. However, Shuta, the kafifa, what happens if the animal initially, while it was before the Shechita, the foreleg was stretched out, and as a result of Shechita kafifa, it now bent the foreleg, that's not what your standard mesa does, and therefore that's a sign of birchus, and therefore it shows that this animal continued to have life and vitality, and even though it was a misukenes, it's kosher. So this is how Rav Onan explained Shmuel. Frank Dimar, if that's the pshat, my kamash molad. L'chor, I don't need Rav Onan to tell me that. Tanina, I learned in the Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah which we just reviewed a moment ago. Behema daka, sheposhti yodli, had a behema daka that stretched out its foreleg. V'loi hechzira, and it did not return it. Sula, basu. She'ena elohit tzvas nefesh, because it's standard. This is what a normal mesa does, that it stretches out its hands, and it was not machzir, it was gornish. Is doch mashma from that, however, if the animal did go and bend its arm, its foreleg back, then it's kosher. No. So Rav Onan is saying the same thing in the Mishnah. What did Rav Onan say? If the yodah was kfufa v'shtasa, gornish. Pshuta v'kafafa, the fact that it bent its arm, its foreleg, that's a simon that it has life and vitality. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Poshiyar v'loy hechzira, it's gunish. It's a mashmah hechzira, but if it did hechzira, that means it bent it over, then it's kosher. No, isn't that the same as what Ronan said? Isn't that the same as the Mishnah? It says, you know, David, there's some noise there in the background. If you'd be so kind, please put yourself on mute. Thank you. Zok Yimura Vaita, im masisin, if it would only be for the Mishnah, havimina, davka, the kaifa, Uposhta, Bahada Kaifala. From the Lashana Mishnah, for Medaik in the Mishnah again. What does it say in the Mishnah? Mora quoted the Mishnah, Dahi Medaka Shaposhta Yodah. Just go back two lines earlier on in the text of the Gemara. Dahi Medaka Shaposhta Yodah. It stretched out its arm, Ulayachsira, but did not return it. In other words, didn't bend it subsequently. It's possible. So the Gemara is Medaik. But if it was Machsir, it's kosher. Now, based on that alone, sounds like the animal was Pashti Yada and it was Machzir as a result of the Shechita. See, Masisan have a minute, Davka, the Kaifa, who Pashta, Vaha the Kaifa. Because that's the Lashana Mishnah. What's the Lashana Mishnah? The Medaka Shepashti Yada. What means Pashti Yada? Initially, it was bent. As a result of the Shechita, it now stretched out its limb. And it didn't do a second Kaifa. So it started off kaifa, in other words, bent, stretched out the arm, didn't bend it again. What's the din? Nafka, the kaifa, ubashtaba, the kaifa, law. Then we say that the animal has enough vitality and koyach, and therefore it's not a non-kosher misukenis. It's misukenis, but it's kosher. That's the tirk, right? Mishnah said, if it's only pashti yada, v'layachzira, it's possible. What means pashti yada? It initially had been bent. As a result of the Shechita, it stretched it out, but it didn't put it back. Then it's possible, because that's normal. What happens, however, if after it had originally been bent, it stretched it out, and it went and it was machzer again, then it's kosher. See, masmin avamin adavka, the kaifa upashta by the kaifa. It's got to be initial bending, an initial pshitas yad, and then a second kaifa. Avu pshuta v'kofasa, loy. What happens, it would only be that at the time of the Shechita, the animal's arm was already pshuta. In other words, it was already stretched out normally, like a regular limb. And then as a result of Shechita kafasa, I would say, look, that's not enough. It's got to be all three. Kafasa, Chuta, and Kafasa. Mashmalon, that's not enough, that's not necessary. Sorry?
No, ground truth.
Ground truth, exactly. So our Mishnah tells us that that's what Rav Onan tells us. Don't be medayik from the Mishnah round trip, but one trip is also sufficient. Okay, so we've now concluded the discussion about Shmuel. We're going back to Rav. Rav said at the top of the Amid, Goya, Reitila Rei, or Kishkisha B'Ozna is sufficient. Meisvei, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Hoyer Meir Oimer, Goya B'Shashchita, Ein Zeh Perichos. Oh, very clearly, not like Rav. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Mishmoi, Mishmoi means the name of Rabbi Yossi, Afilo Heitila Rei, the Kishkisha is Nova, Ein Zeh Perichos. Even if it's Matal Rei, it's not Perichos. What did Rav say at the top? Rav said, Koyi is Pirchus, and Etila Rei is Pirchus. Oy, oy, oy. So I have here a Befeidu Shabrais and not like Rav. Okay, Rav Tanu Pali. We don't want to come on to Rav Tanu Pali if we don't have to. And so therefore, Freit Dimora, Kasha, Goya, Agoya, Kasha, Rei, Agrei. Because Dimora, Slishka, Kasha. Goya, Goya, Kasha, Hadi, Ovi, Kala, Hadi, Ami, Kala. Ovi means that it's very thick and very heavy Kala. That's what Rav is referring to. You hear such a real, deep-rooted, guttural moo, which goes from here to the Kenar Sea. You can really hear it. It's thundering. That is a simen of Pirchus. That means the animal is still strong. However, on the Ami Kala, if it's a very weak call, yeah, you hear a call, but the moo is never. I remember Shonim Kanmonium that this animal used to moo much kehet, and now a little. Then it's daka gunish. So therefore, that's the machloik sana. Machloik is depends on the strength and the vitality of that woo.
And if the animal always had a thin voice, then how can you ever hear? Then it's shut off from the whole test.
You're asking a very good question, but you have to know the practicality. It could very well be that even an animal with a thin voice, at the time of its patira, if you will, maybe it gives out a loud. This animal can make such a. I never heard a sound from this
again.
Such as an idle animal. You know, I never heard a peep out of him.
Stiller.
And now he moves him and makes a moo that you can hear from here to Brooklyn. Sorry?
A Stiller.
A Stiller, exactly. Good. You're sharing with us your great Yiddish expertise. Anyway, so bottom line is, Dema for entered Goyim Mikoy. Was Mitrei Mitrei? Rei Nami Mikasha. Can be Shoyseses. Shoyseses is Rashi. That means that. When it was Matul Rei, it went just straight down like normal. That's not a great simon. Kan b'matrezes, Rashi says, l'mei rochoik. V'chiyas huzeh. That it went to the bathroom, it... The tzoya went, I wouldn't say it went miles, but at least it went a few inches beyond where you normally would expect it if the animal was just going to the bathroom. That showed that it still had vitality, that it was still pushing inside to get that Rei out, and that's why it went. Says Rashi, "Lim me rochik." Shai, I'm for emvedek.
It's normal activity in
Shlachos. That's why Shlachos smells so wonderful.
Yeah, I wonder if that was just decaying flesh or that's.
That is all the wonderful things.
If you ever go to Shlachos, you immediately smell the stench of the Rei that has come out and that comes out, even though there are, of course. Workers that are helping to remove all that rei constantly, but nevertheless, the smell is there at all times.
Even if you drove through the south side, I remember went to by South Ashland Avenue, by the old stockyards, you could smell it throughout the whole neighborhood. You smelled it. It was unforgettable. Just okay. In the neighborhoods. It just it was, cause there was stock, there was a slaughterhouse.
Not the vegetarian.
What? Yeah.
Just traveling here on the West Side Highway, you pass by 125th Street or something. Very often.
The Jewish one makes you humanitarian.
Sorry, once again? Okay, we get back to it. So we talked about the Pirchus. So these things have to happen at the time of the Shechita. What has to happen? In our Mishnah, we talked about the Peshitas Yad Varego, maybe only Yad and not Rego, or just the Zinnik, this huge amount of blood that comes up. And then we had now Rav and Shmuel, Metegoyim, Metilorei. The question is, at what part or at what point in the Shechita does this take place? The very outset, the middle, or the end? And guess what? We're going to have a three-way machlokes. Omer of Chizra, then you were halfway down. Pirchus she'amru, b'soif Shechita. We mean at the end of the Shechita. What does that mean? So Rav Chizda really means the emtza shchita, in the middle of the shchita. It doesn't have to be all the way at the end. In the middle is enough. But if you had any of these simanim of perchas, for instance, if the animal was being poshet yad or kofet yad, all of that, at the beginning of shchita, this is goodish. If it happens in the middle of shchita, that's already sufficient. How do I know this? Now, let's look at our Mishnah. Amos, when did this occur? That it was poshet and not masif. Elam the Seif Shechita, we're talking about at the end of Shechita. Kol Heichi, Teichi, Teizel. Mar is asking this in somewhat of a rhetorical fashion. The animal is geshochten. The Shechit has already gone away and he's cleaning his hands, he's cleaning his sakin, his chalif, and you still want that all of that, that after that takes place, the animal should both be Poshet Yad and Machzir. I mean, how long do you want this animal to demonstrate that it's still alive after the shechita? Even the soif shechita, after the shechita, it's got to be both poishet yad and achzira. Kol hechi, so much you want techi from lashon of chias, it should continue to live the tezel and go forth further. Come on, isn't that a little bit pushing it? Elam b'emtza shechita, by svara has to be the emtza shechita, that in the middle of the shechita, that the animal is doing these jerking reactions. You're not going to require it that after the shechita is over, it's still going to be jerking around. That was what Rav Chizda said. Pomle Rav, the Rav said no. Rav Chizda respectfully disagreed. Lo'oyra b'sayv shchita. Really, we're talking at the end of the shchita. Shani oy mekosha. Eino isekim b'sayv shchita. If the animal is not jerking at the tail end of the shchita, the very end, v'yaduish nishmasa netula heimen el kodim l'chein. That tells you that the neshama of the animal was already out before the sof shchita. In other words, because the animal was a misukenes, and so therefore its life was very, very fragile. The fact that when you come to the Seif Shechita, the animal is not doing the type of jerking reactions, the type of pirchos that we enumerated, is a simon that it already lost its neshama a half a second or a second or 2 seconds before the Seif Shechita. So effectively, the Shoichet has shechted a dead animal. Exactly right. So that's what. So you see that Rava obviously disagrees with Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said the emtza shechita, and Rava said no, it's got to be the soif shechita. And we're going to talk more about Rava at the very bottom of the Amud. At the moment, we go now to Nachum Yitzchak Amar Pirchas Amar Be Tchila Shechita. At the outset, as the shoychet is starting to shech, then you have to see this jerking reaction. Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Choyra has a very, very good raya to his pshat. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Menor HaMinolot. Now, didn't we learn yesterday's Mishnah? Now, remember, Rav Lezer said that Zinka means that this huge amount of blood comes up from down below with some noise at the same time. As a result, then you know this animal still has a lot of vitality. Then Rav Shimon said, what happens to a sheichet b'layla, person shechting at night? Are you allowed to shecht at night? Is that permissible? So remember, we had a Mishnah back on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah said, "B'diyevid la yilada shecht at night." And the Gemara asked the Stira from a Braisa that says you can shecht even lechad chilah. And the Gemara said, if it's talking about avuka biyodoy, if there happens to be a torch around and there's plenty of light, you can shecht balayli even lechad chilah. If there's no avuka, you can go and shecht b'diyevid lechad chilah. You should wait during the day. You should have light. But if you have an experienced shoychet, he feels the mukkim etzaber, and he severs the two simanim, and the next morning we take a look and say, wow, what a beautiful job, you really cut it so well. So kutsha b'diyavet. Okay, so you have a person who shechted b'laila, and then everybody went to retire for the night. Well, the next morning, matza kisolim maleim dam. They found that the walls were full of blood. It's ksheir, it's kosher, shezinka, because it shows that the animal burst out with this huge amount of blood that came out. Like Reb Lezer said in the Mishnah, that Zinka is a permissible pirchus for purposes of declaring this animal to be kosher, even though it was a misukenes.
You said ksoma, the base of
shechita. I know what your question is, but the Gemara is going to address that in another half a second. I would have addressed it a second ago, but I can only speak one word at a time. Not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Boim Shlom that's able to say, exactly. Beautiful. So now, it says in the Mishnah, Solem Malayim Da. Choshib Shat, when you learn the Mishnah, before you learn the Rashi yesterday on the Mishnah, and before Barry responds now, and before Reb Lezer, we're going to have the Gemara in a moment, Reb Lezer, you would think Solem means that you wake up in the morning, you come in, and these beautiful walls of the Beis HaShechita means the Shlachtos, which until now were painted white, and everybody was commenting, oh, so beautiful, so nicely painted, and then you find all of these red blotches in the morning, and you say to yourself, it must be from that Shechita last night, because last night, before we turned the lights off at night, the walls were still nicely bright and white, and all of a sudden I see, oh, there are red blotches, and all that, maybe it's a Beis HaManuga or something. However, Rashi already told us yesterday, based on the Gemara now, the Yom HaShmuel, no, we're not talking about the Kisolim of the walls of the Shlachtos, but we're talking about Kisolim Beis Shechita Shanino. Beis Shechita means the Beis HaTzavar, where the Shechita takes place. Now this is very, very important, why the Gemara is bringing this, as you'll see. Iyamis B'Shloim B'Tchila Shechita Shapir. If you're going to go and tell me that Pirchus B'Shash Tchila Shechita is sufficient, so then we're okay. Now I know why they said that it's kosher the next morning, even though nobody actually saw the Zinnik with his own eyes, but they saw in the morning plenty of blood. Kosher. Eliyamris B'Shloim Shechita, that the Pirchus has to take place at the end of Shechita. The next morning, how do I know that you had that Zinnik, that you had all of that blood at the end of Shechita, Lechishdom Etchilat Shechita Zinka, and you just told me that that is not sufficient? Is Lechoyer Araya that even a Pirchus B'Tchilat Shechita also does the trick? Now you're wondering to yourself, like Barry was wondering a moment ago, why does Igmara throw in this halacha of Shmuel, Koyse B'Shechita? And let it be that the Koysolim of the Shlachtos, who says it has to be Davka, the Koysolim of the Tzavah, says Rashi, because if in fact you needed so much blood that it went and spritzed on the wall, then you'd be able to tell whether it was Tchila Shechita or Saif Shechita. How would you be able to tell? Because if it was Tchila Shechita, you'd find the blood on the top of the wall. If it's Saif Shechita, you're going to find the blood at the bottom of the wall. Why is that? Because how much strength can the animal muster Saif Shechita with its blood to go and can't go all the way to the top? It's going to be on the bottom of the wall. And that's why we had to go and bring in Shmuel to say, don't look at the wall of the Shlachtos. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Beis HaTzavar. The Beis HaTzavar, there's no way of telling whether this overflow of blood took place at the Tchila Shechita or the Sof Shechita. I want to take a quick look at the Rashi. It's about 10 lines before the wide lines. The Yom HaShmuel. Lahachi itzrich lefrushin to kesalim dahacha. Lav havi loy havi kesalim mamish. We don't mean the real walls of the building. Ela koyse beis hashchita. That's what we mean. The havi kesalim mamish lemachar hayin yecholim lahave. We could have told whether or not it was betchil hashchita or soif. We would have known. I have a zinik betchil hashchita. I have a shchita. The havi betchil hashchita yimotzei hazinik or yimtze hazinik lemale bekoyse all the way to the top. The machmas koyech v'chia shahoya adayim bebehema zinkel ameirachik. Boy, did it spritz all almost on the roof, almost on the ceiling. If you're going to see a lamata, because the yedush of emtzah shechita zinka, or at least towards the end, shloihoya ba koyech kol kach lezanik adam lameirachik. So therefore, we'd be able to easily answer your diuk, the diuk that Rav Nachman Yitzchak is making. Oh, since I see that Zinnik is sufficient the next morning, and I don't know when that Zinnik took place. Maybe it took place in the beginning, maybe it took place at the end. What do you mean? Now, let's see where the blood is. If the blood is on the top of the wall, near the ceiling, then I know it took place b'tchila. If I see it's on the bottom, then I know it took place b'sof. So, Rashi of Al-Hash, the Yom HaShmuel, the Hani Kasol, the Havi Kasol, the Mamish, and the Koyse Beis HaShechita, the Matzino Lameida, the b'tchila Shechita Zinka, or the Yach HaShechita. There's no way of telling, because if you're just talking about that there's a marble, there's a yam of blood here at the muck of the base of Shechit. I don't know when that happened. Did it happen in the beginning? Did it happen yet? That's the reason why he brings in Shmuel to demonstrate that lav davka soif shechitim etchila shechita. Because otherwise, how would they go and kasher this animal the next morning? Barry, everything is okay? Everything's fine. Good. So getting back to our Gemara now. Therefore, says the Gemara, is a right to me, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, that Pirchos can even be betchila shchita. Frank Gemara, v'dil meshani zinik. The oddest, maybe zinik is different than all the other simone Pirchos. Meaning, the other simone Pirchos, really you can have at the, you have to have at the end. The reason why, and therefore not like Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, betchila shchita. No, no. Typical Pirchos has to be at the end. Zinik is such a strong measure of Pirchos, because you have all this huge amount of blood. Maybe there, Taka makes a difference between Tchila Shchita and Tzvayv Shchita. But normally you have to do Tzvayv Shchita. Frank Timon, mi odif, is that really true? That is a better simon. But now we learned in the Mishnah. Pung faket. Reb Elazar oimer daya im zinka. Daya im zinka means it's enough. You don't have to have this huge situation of the Pshitas Yad Beregel, what was the Lashon of the Mishnah? Actually, to Farchis Yad Beregel. No, dimes, because, you know, get up, get up. So you see that Zinka is a lesser form of Pirchus than the Yad Beregel. You're trying to go and tell me that Shani Zinik to Odif, maybe by Zinik is different. Therefore, even Tchila Shchit is enough. Zinik happens to be a weaker form of evidence of the vitality of this animal than the Hoshatas Yad Beregel. It says Dayan Zinka.
You have to find out if still alive, because if he did show, if he to be trained, yeah. I can't publish, I can't say.
No, no, you did a fine job.
I did. Yes. The shield, yeah. I came, and I'm missing.
Okay. We missed you. So let's continue on. So the blazoim daim zinka. Zoktimora, this is nishkaraya. The fact that he says daim because it's kal midram gamliel for otif midraban. Remember, we have three deists in our Mishnah. Ram Gamliel, our Mishnah says Ram Shimon Gamliel, but apparently it's really Ram Gamliel. In fact, back in the beginning of the Mishnah, that Goyis Vitzionim already said that later on we're going to have Ram Gamliel, not Ram Shimon Gamliel. Okay, anyway, but bottom line is Zoktimora. This Reb Lezer's daim zinka, because he was responding to Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel said it has to be Pirchus Biyad Uberegel. No, that doesn't have to be Yad Uberegel. Zinik is enough. However, what are the second Rabbanan holding on Mishvah Chum Oimrim? One or the other, Yad or Regel. Vis a vis Yad or Regel, Zinik is much stronger. That's what Nachum Yitzchak says. We Paskin really like Rabbanan. I'll go and bring you a Raya. That when it comes to the Indian of Shchita of Pirchus, that Pirchus can even be Betchila Shchita. What's the Rai is going to be from the Zinik case. So you're going to go and tell me, but Zinik might be a very, very strong type of Pirchus. No, no, Mishnah says, Dayim Zinka. Yeah, but that's Kalman and Gamliel. But Gabi the Rabbonon, it could be that it is stronger than that. Amar Avina Amali Sam Bar Chukoi. Akshiba avua debar abuvrim, the amrila achva debar abuvrim. Rashi is, to borrow Barry's notion, is a little bit puzzled that the Gemara refers to this individual as the father of the son of abuvrim. Right? Amali samabaki calling Akshiba avua the father of bar abuvrim. So let's just call him abar abuvrim. We don't have to say the father of the son of abuvrim, just call him abuvrim. So Rashi says that the reason is because this Abuvram was not a well-known individual, but the Bar Abuvram was well-known. This is the father of the Bar Abuvram.
Or he's more famous.
More famous. Bigger Talmud Chacham, a greater scholar. He was well-known. Exactly. And the second version is not the father, but the brother Bar Abuvram. So he said, Midrabanan, Mi'odif, you're telling me that Zinka might be stronger than the Rabbanan's view of Hoshatas Yad Hoi Regel. But now let's go back in the Mishnah. B'chom oimen ad shetefarches oy biyad oy beregel. Until he's mefarches. Rabban Ahai, kain. On who are they addressing? Ilayim and Rabban Gamliel, they're going to Rabban Gamliel. They shouldn't go and say, ad shetefarches, make sure it's going to be either yad or regel. The other way around. Kimen shepirches sami boile. Since the Tanakhama says, I need both pirches yad viregel, then the Rabbanim should say, nah, come on, don't be so radical that you have to have both Yad or Regel. So look, Kim Shebirchus say Yad or Regel. Why would it say, Ad Shetefarchis? Ad Shetefarchis means, make sure there's a Pirchus of Yad or Regel. Pshita Reb Lozer and Reb Lezer. They are talking to Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer said that you have to do a zinik. They said, no, zinik is not sufficient. It's got to be Atchet Vachet. Oy biyad, oy beregel, much, much stronger. The Iodif Mayad, if you're going to go and tell me that zinik is stronger than the yad regel, why are they saying ad? They should say there also. Kimin Shapirchas of Yad Beregel. Is the chasimin, by the fact that it said Adjit Vachas Oy Biyad Beregel, that zinik in fact happens to be the weakest of all of these shitois? And if it's the weakest, then how do we go and say in the Mishnah that the next morning he was able to conclude that this is animal is kosher because it had a zinik overnight? Maybe the zinik was betchila shchita and not besoif shchita, and there's no way of knowing because the beisad tzavar is overwhelmed with all this blood. I don't happen to know whether it was at the beginning or whether it was at the end. Therefore, that's the right. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that zinik or any pirchas betchila shchita is sufficient. And don't go and tell me the zinik happens to be an overwhelming pirchas simon, and that's why betchila shchita is enough, and the others are more modest. No, no, I see from the more just the opposite, that this is considered to be a simon cholosh, a weak simon, and the others are disagreeing. No. It's got to be either both yad v'regel, at least one yad or regel. Zinik is not enough. It's a right from Nachman Yitzchok that Pirchas im betchila shchita is sufficient. Yeah.
So we have the hierarchy of simani of kosher pirchas, both, and then machlok is one or the other, and then the bottom is zinik, or both zinik and then one or the other, and we're concluding it's both one or the other and then zinik as the hierarchy.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, as far as the timing though, what is the more lenient opinion? The beginning, middle, or end? If we're saying that the pirchas has to be at the beginning, is that a stricter opinion? Because it's clearly
the more lenient.
That's the more lenient.
Correct.
Because we're requiring the least, so we're requiring the
additional vitality
at the beginning and at the end. So as it were, in the whole grid of things, then a zinik at the beginning of shechita would be the most lenient opinion to say the animal is still kosher.
Correct.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Very good.
So we had so far the middle, that was Rav Chisda. Then we had the beginning, that was Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Now we go back to Rabba. Rabba Amar Rechash, Amar B'Soif Shechita. It's got to be at the very end of the Shechita. Amar Rabba, you know, middle, how do I know this on you? We have a Braisa. And the Braisa is based on a famous Pasuk that we lain on the Yom Tovim. Shor Oy Chesef Oy Eiz Ki Yivalei V'yosh Shivas Yomim Tachas Imoy V'miyoy Mashmini V'holo Yeratza L'Karbet Isha L'Asha. The Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is simple. If you're bringing a carbon, and you bring a carbon from a shor, from an ox, a kesev, from a lamb, a sheep, or a ace from a goat, ki yivalei, after it's born, aho yeshivas yom tachasima, you can't bring it immediately, right after the birth, or the next day, or the third day. You gotta wait for at least 7 days. Only on the eighth day and further, yerotz ha-carbon isha l'shem, then you go and take it for a carbon. Okay. On the surface, very simple. Now, the Gemara is going to be medayik a lot of words and learn various drushes. The sanya short on to Yamid Beis. Oy chesed, prat lekilayim. If you now took a hybrid, took two animals together, and they gave birth to a third animal, so for instance, says Rashi, you mated a shepsela, a lamb, together with a goat, and they produced a hybrid. I don't know if it has a special name or not, but whatever it is, that animal is possible to be brought for a carbon. How do I know that? From the word oy. If Shelley were here, we would say oy vey. Shor oy chesiv. You can bring either a ganze shor, or a ganze kesiv, or a ganze ace. But don't mix and match kesiv with ace. Pratlikalei. And then the pasuk is in Yutaka, oy ace. That's the second oy. That comes to tell you pratlinidme. Now, Nidbe is something which is probably a miracle of sorts.
Mutant.
I'm sorry, a mutant, okay, good. What is a mutant? So Rashi explains that you have a normal pair of Mr. and Mrs. Goat get married. Everybody says, wow, what a beautiful shidduch, goat and goatess. And then they have a child, and the child looks like a shepsela, sheep. And you say to yourself, how is this possible?
She cheated on her husband.
Well, that could be. We're assuming, however, that they did not
faithful,
cheat.
Okay.
Yes, we assume that was a faithful one. So what's the din? Pratla nidma. Even though it appears to be from a different species, what's the din? No. We're going to get to Behemoth Daka short. We're not there yet.
So it's puzzle for a korban.
Puzzle for a korban. Then the puzzle continues on. Ki yivoleit. Ki yivoleit means it gives birth. Prat li yoytze doifen. Yoytze doifen is what they call today a C-section. When we learned in Yiddish, we called it a Kaiserschnitt. What's a Kaiserschnitt?
A C-section.
A C-section.
The Kaiser is a
Caesar. Kaiser is the C. The C for the C-section. Anyway, so prat li yoytze doifen. If the animal did not get born, yivoleit, normal later, but it was a yoytze doifen from the side, meaning as a result of surgery, as a C-section, no good. Can't bring it for a car. Then the pasuk shivas yamin. That is not Miliyat Drasha, that's really Parshat Pshat in the Pasuk. That it's got to be at least 7 days old. Then on the eighth day you can bring it for a carbon. If you brought it on day three, day four, day five, it's a Pasuk of carbon, it's Mechusas Man. And then it says, a Pasuk Tachas, Imoy Prat Li Yosin. If this child happens to be Nebuch, an orphan, and we don't mean an orphan from the father, we mean an orphan from the mother, also no good. Now all the other Drashas over here are pretty straightforward. They don't require that much special intelligence. However, when you talk about yosim, how yosim hechidam? What do you mean that the animal that was born is a yosim? Ilein badilidite ime v'hadir meisa. That initially the mommy gave birth to the baby, and of course among all the behemoths they made a ganza simcha metakiddush. They were so happy a baby was born, and then loyalein again. You know what happened after that? The mommy passed away. The mommy died of this animal. You're going to tell me, okay, so I can't bring the animal anymore for a carbon because it's an orphan and has no mother. Do you think the Torah is requiring that every time you bring an animal, make sure that the mommy is still alive? And therefore, if you bring an animal just 20 years old, make sure that its mommy is 25 or 30 and still alive and kicking? Doesn't sound right. I had never heard of something like that. So must be that the animal died in childbirth or right before childbirth, and now the animal, the baby is born, and you're saying, oh, the yosim, since this animal is born nebuch, an orphan without a mommy, you can't go and bring it for a cart. We learn that from kiyavole. What means kiyavole? That either you did a C-section because the mommy is dead. How was the animal born? And even if you can tell me we don't need to have a formal C-section with the special surgeons, but even if you have to go and use special extracting methods to go and get the animal out, as opposed to it being born naturally, the Gemara considers that also to be a yoytze doifen. Because yoytze doifen is even in, I believe, even Hebrew, but certainly in Yiddish, yoytze doifen means it's an exception to the rule. So it's lav dafka only in a case of a C-section. Anything which is not the norm, you say that's a yoytze doifen, that's an exception to the rule. See, it's also an exception to the rule. The fact that the animal didn't just allow the baby to go and go out through the canal, but instead you had to go and put your hands in and make a gans.
It's no good.
It's no good. No good for a carbon. Exactly right. By the way, we mentioned you a moment ago. It was a shame that you didn't come. He said, tak, it's oi, but Baruch Hashem, you're back. Anyway, el pshita. Was muzaim pshat then in this yosim situation? It must be that it happened simultaneously, or at least contemporaneously. Zeh pirish l'misim, zeh pirish l'chaim. As the behemoth is giving birth and the child is coming out from the canal, then the doctors say, we have good news and bad news. The good news is we have a new generation, a Nayador. The bad news is Nebuch, mommy didn't live to see this Nayador because the mommy passed away in the middle
of
the
hospital. Does she have to see the thing?
Or they see section C, I wish that, yeah.
No, she has to see it, it's not good.
I love it when you say,
okay. I'm being serious.
Okay.
How about I love it when you say, could
it's
you?
It's hard to believe.
And
that's really the important thing.
Yes.
The child is, it's not going to be a good shkita if
the
it's
child... It's not talking about shkita, we're talking about korban. Is it going for a korban? This is a pasuk about korbanos, right?
Absolutely.
It's not about shkita. The animal's kosher, even if it's a yasam, even if it's a nidmat, it's all... It's
okay,
all.
You're testing us.
Yeah. 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 Good humor.
So let's continue on.
I'm not going to interrupt. I'm just
okay,
gonna tell
no,
you
you're not going to tell you.
There can't be, it has to be a moment that the child's out for it to be a good korban.
Oh, good. So now the Gemara says, Rava remembers trying to bring a raya from this braisa that Pirchas has to be besoif shchit. So to what? Iam is b'shloim be'inan chiyusa besoif leida. If you tell me the chiyus has to be at the very end of the leida as the baby is emerging, the mommy still has to be around. That's why I need the pasuk to go and tell you, make sure that this animal is not a yosoim or yosoima at the time of its birth. There is still a mommy there, at least for a split second. If you're going to tell me, no, you don't have to have a mommy there at the soif of the leida. So, what do I need a special pasuk of prat tachas imay prat liyosim? Me kiyavolei nafka. I can learn from kiyavolei. Kiyavolei tells us that if you had to go through these extra efforts to extract the baby, either C-section or not, that tells us that the animal is possible to be brought for a carbon. So ibazoi, what do I need then? The drush of prat tachas imay prat liyosim. By definition, when the animal is born, it's already a yosim because we had to go and exert these special efforts to extract the baby. Elamai zotiyamar zotrov is a simon that we're talking about mamish besoif the shchita, or besoif in this case he's saying besoif the later, that the mother still has to be around at that moment, and therefore that we know for sure is the time of the yosim falling into place, as opposed to anything earlier where you wouldn't learn it from the tachas imay, you'd learn it from the kiyavale.
You can't be an osam if you never had a parent.
And that is readily apparent. Amar Rava. So after we've had all of this discussion back and forth, we want to know what the Simon HaPirchus is, and we want to know whether we're talking about a Behema Daka or a Behema Gasa. So Rava now tells us, Halacha L'maisa. I'm telling you now, Shulchan Aruch. Amar Rava. Hilchasa. Kihod Masnisa. Like the following brisa, or the brisa that we saw before, the behema daka shepashti yoda v'loy hechzira is psula. Behema daka hoishit yad was not machzir. That's possible. We had that back on the omer aleph.
That's the foreleg, right?
The yoda is the foreleg, correct. So if the behema daka was hoishit, hoishit means it stretched out v'loy hechzira, but didn't go and fold it, didn't bend it again. Possible. The man one that's biyad. However, if you're talking about the regia, which is the back leg, bein pashta v'loy kafafa, bein kafafa v'loy pashta, it's ksheira. Because apparently the back leg does not do as much motion and movement as the front leg, and so therefore, as long as it does something, is sufficient. It doesn't have to be the kafafa like we had by the foreleg, but even if it's just poishit, it's genug. Bein pashta v'loy kafafa, bein kafafa v'loy pashta, ksheira. That's all medibar murim be daka. Al begasa, if you talk about it, bein begasa, bein beyad, bein beregel, bein pashta, v'loy kafafa, bein kafafa, v'loy pashta, ksheira. You only have to do something. Epis, yad, or regel, pshita, kfifa, epis, that's already enough.
But it can't be a spasm. We have to look out for spasms.
The oif, if you're talking about an oif, there you don't have to have these major pshitas yad, or kfifas yad, rather afil le rifreif ele gapoi, le kishkish ele znavei harizeh pirchus. Gapoi is referring to feathers. Even if it lets its feathers just flutter a bit, or znivas hazonav, it allows that the kishkish hazonav, that the tail wiggles back and forth a little bit, that's sufficient for purposes of birds.
Harizeh pirchus. For birds, it's the tail feathers.
Tail feathers, very good. So my kamashal and frank tigmara kula tanani l'choira, all of what Rava just told us is meduyik in the Mishnah. What did we say in the Mishnah? We already quoted it on the Omer Aleph. Bein bedaka shepashta yoda v'loy hechzira. If it only did a pshita fiyad, it didn't bend over. It's psula. She'ena elayitzos nefesh. We're quoting word for word from the Mishnah because that's normal, typical for animals that are geshachten, not just a mesukenis. Any animal, when you shecht it, it's very, very normal for behem bedaka to be pushed in the yad and not to go and fold it. And therefore, if this mesukenis was pushed in the yad and it didn't go and fold it after that, it's psula. That's typical, that's standard. If you want pirchus, you have to have something more. So now let's make a couple of diukim. Number one, it said yad, yodo, yad in regaloi. And it said behema daka, which means daka in gasalai. So ibazoi, if you look through what Rava just said, he differentiated between behema daka, yad, and regel, and he differentiated between daka and gasa. Says Imar, if you medayik the Mishnah, you can see that already. So what did I need Rava to go and tell you? So Evdimor Oif it's Trichalei. The Loitzanan. Hamishna doesn't mention Oif. So that's really the novel Chiddush of Rava that we didn't know until now, that by Oif, since it has so much less life to it, you only need a fluttering of the feathers or a wiggling of the tail and Dusha Sheginuk, and it's kosher.
We in Machlokas in the Mishnah, so Rava is, by saying the Hilchasa, he's clarifying what the final halacha is. Why are we saying he's being extraneous in talking about
it? Presumably, what the Gemara could have said is that Rava says, I paskin like the Chum Machroinim, that's either Yad or regular Zinah.
Okay.
Zok the Mishnah Vait, next Mishnah. Here we're not talking about Mesukenes, we're talking about a Yiddish Shoichit, a Jewish Shoichit, who is shechting on behalf of a guy. In other words, you have a guy, and he doesn't want to go and kill his animal by using a baseball bat or using a gun. He says to his neighbor, a Shoichit, I hear that you Jews do such a wonderful job in shechting your animals, and you do it with such fine character and so softly and so nicely. You don't do a drasa and you don't do a shahir. I want you to go and shecht my animal for me. So says the Tanna Kamma, Sheikh Levi Chom, no problem. You know, the Shoichit takes whichever customer is standing online. If it's a Jewish customer, he shechts for the Jew. And he's allowed to, no problem, and it's kosher. However, Rebbeleze poisel, Rebbeleze says, no good. What's the svar of Rebbeleze? We'll see shortly in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. And Rebbeleze goes one step further. Umar Rebbeleze, afilu shachta lecha li'ovid kechovim, mechatzar kovet shalom. All the goy wanted to eat from this animal was the chatzar kovet. Chatzar kovet is what the Gemara calls tarpisha de kavda. Tarpisha de kavda is either defined as a membrane that covers the kovet, that covers the liver, or some say that it's a diaphragm. Whatever you, I'm sure some of the picture books will show you exactly what it looks like. But anyway, so all this, everything okay? So all this guy wanted to eat from this huge cow or from this behemoth daka, he wanted to eat as abyssala, such a membrane over the kovet. Even that is enough to go and passel the shechita. Now, what does that mean? A filishachta lechel, this a chatzar kovet shula. So Rashi is silent, but the Tosis Yomtiv in the Mishnah says we're talking about a situation where a Jew and a goy own this animal together b'shutfas. And the goy is saying to the Jew, do me a favor, today I'd like to go and eat this piece of membrane over the liver. Could you do me a favor and please go and shecht it? So even though, as far as the goy is concerned, he only needed, 1% of this animal, even less than 1%. And the Jew said, that's fine. I have plenty of customers and I have a big family and a lot of Jews in town. I'll be happy to go and shecht. So even though the intent when he shechted it was 99% for kosher uses. Well, we're going to talk about it in a moment. However, since this goy wanted to have avisala, even a 1% for himself, it also makes it possible. Now the question is, why taka does it become possible? Said our chushi v'gast, Reb Shalom, shestam machsheves evik echovim la'avoydus kechovim. Your regular, ordinary goy, when he talks about shechting an animal, he has in mind for avoydus zara. In the sense you become his shliach.
Is there a shliach
according to Rebbeleze, yes, he's a shliach on his behalf.
Shliach l'dvaraveira.
Shliach l'dvaraveira. Exactly.
Intention.
Kavanah
intention.
Good. Kavanah is intention. Very, very good. So we have now the Tanna Kamma that said it's strictly kosher. Rebbeleze says that it's possible because we have to assume now that it's for avodah zarah purposes. But we're not finished yet. We have a third mandium. Reb Yoisi, kal v'chayim advarim. I'm going to make a kal v'chayim. Be'makim shemachshava piselis b'mukdashin. Which machshava passes by mukdashin? That's machshavas pigel. Ain't a koil haylech. I know you miss pigel a lot, so Baruch Hashem, we're back into the swing of pigel. Ain't a koil haylech. Exactly. Ain't a koil haylech ella achar ha'oyved. You only watch or listen to the machshava of the oyved, the one that's doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, typically, of course, a kohen. But the Gemara doesn't want you to go and shoot me down and say, kohen, a shoychid is kasher bazaar. So therefore, it takes the easy way out. And since the oyved, whoever is doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, says, Reb Yoisi, I don't care that the balim that are standing outside in the regular Ezras Yisrael are saying to themselves, oh, I can't wait for Nishlamim to be Shachtan, because we're going to have a Kiddush in 3 days from now on Wednesday or Thursday, and it's going to be delicious, and here in Fuan Shtibel, and it's on Gevaldik, da 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 da. So does, that's, of course, a Machsheves Pigel, because it's Chutzlum Koimoi and Chutzlum Zmanoi. But the question is, does that have any influence on the outcome of this Karbon? Says Rabbi Yossi, no. We only are concerned about the one that's shechting and the one that's doing the Zrika Saddam. We're not interested with the Balim think. In the case of Chulin, where obviously there is no inyan of Machsheves Pigel, Rashi points out that the Gemara is going to point out, but there is a Machsheva for Yisrael's Bechulim, and that's a Machsheva Savoy Dezara. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, but in the meantime, says the Mishnah, Madach, in a case where Machsheva point passes the Pigol, by Hegdish, by Kodshim, we're saying we ignore the Balim. Mokim Shein, Machsheva for Yisrael's Bechulim. Hey, and then that we're going to ignore the Balim. Sheish lo yehei akol haylech, ela achar ha-shoichet. We only go after the Shoichet. And if the Shoichet says, I'm shechting, I could care less what the Oyvid Kechovim Balim has in mind. He has in mind, Avoyda Zora, Ahina, Avoyda Zora, Her. We don't care even from our... If he was really a bona fide Barculius man, she should be taking stones and throwing stones. He shouldn't be shechting. But
so,
you're right.
So the Lezer cannot hold that a Goy could bring a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash, because we always be worried that even though it's being shechten, you know, in the Azara, for a korban, for a kosher korban, the Baal, the Goy, is thinking, I really want it for Yoshka, or
maybe
something.
Maybe it's different with the bring it to Beis
HaMikdash. Yeah, then he can't be, because no, it's being...
Here is
Machshava. No, I'm saying, he's going after Machshava. I mean, he could have a subversive Machshava when he's bringing his korban Beis HaMikdash. You're thinking, ha-ha, you're thinking I'm bringing this as a korban ola for Hashem, I'm bringing it for Yoshka. You know, I mean, that's the whole first century pre-Korban bias. It probably was a problem.
You would say it because it's already in Chicago. But here he's going to
But before Korban bias, before Korban bias, when you had Christians, you had problems like this, you had heresies like this.
Anyway, I believe the Gemara is going to address this tomorrow, but I think we should wait for tomorrow. All we need to know for our period, for our point at this time, is that there's a three-way, what appears to be a three-way machlokes. The Tanna Kamma says the Sheikh Levi Chovim, we're talking about Chulin, Shkitosik Sheira. Reb Leza says because the Goy has in mind for Avodah Zarah. He says, Reb Yoyis, I could care less what he has in mind, because you only look at the Shochet, you don't look at the Balim. Now, that being the case, would you say that Reb Yoyis is the same as the Tanna Kamma?
He's defending. It sounds like he's expanding and defending the Tanna Kamma.
So you're saying that there were the only two days.
Yes, yes.
The Tanna Kamma and Reb Yossi, and Reb Lezer argues with both of them.
Right.
Well, you see Mitchum in the Gemara shortly that in fact is not the case. One could have thought that that's a shot. The Gemara is going to reject that. Zok Gemara, Hani Tanoi Islahu Reb Lezer Reb Yossi. The first two Tanoim of our Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma and Reb Lezer, they do not follow what Reb Yossi says, but rather they follow what Reb Lezer Rabbi Yossi said. The Sanya, Umar Blizzard Rabbi Yossi, Shemati Shabalim Mefakim. I heard the Balim can be Mefakim. In other words, not like Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi is in the Mishnah when it comes to Pigol. Ein HaKol Heilech Ela Acher Ho Oived. Said Rabbi Blizzard Rabbi Yossi, I heard that the Balim can also be Mefakim. So if they have a bad Machshava of Chutzas Mani, Chutzim Koyma, even though the Oived did a perfect job, it's Pigol. Mil. Nevertheless, if that's what they both hold, so in other words, let's stop here just for a moment. They hold Bamlam and Mafaglam, so obviously they disagree with Rabbi Yossi. The reason why Rabbi Yossi said that if a kosher shoichet shechs on behalf of a goy, the reason why it's kosher, says because I could care less what the machsheves hagoy is. It's leimalev leimoyret in a koil hoylech echel acher ho'oyve after the shoichet. So I don't care what the goy has in mind. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. However, both the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, as well as Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah, disagree. They both are like Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi, that you do have to reckon, you do have to reckon with the Machshava of the Balim, because the old Balim are Mefaglim. So if that's the case, just like the Balim are Mefaglim in the Beis HaMikdash by Kodshim, presumably the same thing should apply to Chulin as well, that the Balim also have a say in the matter. So why does the Tanakhama say he should agree to Reb Lezer that if this guy has in mind, especially if a stam machsheves oivik chum is lavoides kechum, he should be concerned that he's assisting, he's shechling ashtik avoides ara here, and should be shintosi psula like Reb Lezer. Says he, I'll tell you what the machloikis is. The Tanakhama sover ishamina dechoshev in Eloi, loy, stam machsheves oivik chum, lavoides kechum, loy omrinan. In other words, everybody agrees if the Oivik Chachavim says out loud, or he says quietly, but we have the mic picked it up and the Goy didn't realize it, so we know for sure that his Machshava is Avodah Zarah. Even the Tanakhama would say, Parcel, don't even get close to it, it's Avodah Zarah. Fast, Osir Bana, give it, let the Goy take it, that's nothing to do with it. That the Goy is the owner,
okay.
We're not selling it, I'm not giving it as a present. It's his, he wants to take it. He's untied. It's awesome, no good. That's if I overheard what the guy said. But if I didn't hear, this time, if I walk down the street and I see a guy, I'll ask him, when's the last time you went to Mass? I haven't gone to Mass in 10 years now. Do you still have a Kratzbach tree? Yeah, every other year, depending if the kids are home or not. No, they're not from. They don't believe in the whole Shabbat. Anyway, so since so says the Chacham, I don't have to worry about that his Machshava is the Shem Avodah Zarah. However, what did Reb Lezer say? No! You're wrong, I disagree with you. Says him, Reb Lezer said, even if I didn't hear his machshav at all, I know the goyim. I have plenty of from a goyim on my friends.
He's punished because he once listened to somebody, a min, say a nice thing about a pasuk.
Very good. Exactly, no mistakes. Right. Thank you for pointing that out. Do you know who the Mechaber was? Somebody Roth. I don't know if he's Jewish, not Jewish, but
Bob Ariel Shin.
Bob Ross. Yeah, but it's never Shingi Star, right? He's no longer alive.
He's never. I don't think so.
Most Ross is a Jewish.
Okay, we're getting off the subject. Yeah, so back to you, Mark. Oh, so that's the machloikis in our Mishnah. Do you say that stam machshev is goy lavoides ara or not? But both the Tanakhama and Reb Lezer both agree that if I know for a fact that the goy had a machshava of avoides ara, even though I, the shoychet, don't believe in avoides ara, nevertheless, if that was his machshava, I attribute his machshava to the shechita, and it would become awesome. The only reason why the Tanakhama says it's kosher because a regular way.
Even if their shifus in the animal, the Jew owns enough of it that's
how the Tosfos Yontel learns pshat in the Reb Lezer. It's chastam. I've got the shmini, the kosher, the sam, my shuvah. Well, it's chom amrina. The osur b'yosilamein. That's now number three in our Mishnah. I've got the shmini, the kosher. Even if I hear him screaming from the mountaintops, I have in mind by way the zara. Makes no difference. If the shoychet is shechting perfectly, I could care less what the balim hold. Both in the case of the Beis Hamikdash by Pigel, and the same thing legabe avodah zarah. Okay, so that's a very nice pshat. Pshat number one. Ikad yamid is a second pshat, which is similar but different. Bidishamina the choshev pligi. When I heard him utter his machshava, that's where the machlokes is. Tanakama sova ki amrin ze machshav ze oivid hanimil befnim. That applies to the Beis Hamikdash. There is a special din that the Balaam also have a say in the matter of the Gabi Hilchas Pigel. Ab chutz loy, not by chutz, because chutz b'pnim loy alfina. I don't automatically jump from b'pnim to chutz. Kachim is kachim, chulin is chulin, and never the twain shall meet. One second, let's just finish. The Osir Blezer, the main lender, Blezer says,
which comes up,
Yeah, we'll get to it. The Osir Blezer, the main lender, Yalfin and Chutz Mipnim, that you do learn Chutz Mipnim. Since you do learn Chutz Mipnim, just like inside the Beis Hamikdash, you have to be concerned about the Balaam being mefagel. I have to worry about outside the Beis Hamikdash that the goy has a machshavas avodah zarah. The Osir Yosin LeMeimer, Afel Bifnim Nami Zeh Mechash Vzeh Oivad Lo Yamrinan. I don't agree to that whole business. It's only Rabbi Yosi, the son of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yosi, that said that the machshava of the Balaam means something. So Rabbi Yosi, I reject that whole concept, that whole premise, totally. So even in the Beis Hamikdash, if the Balaam say, I have in mind for Pigel, I could care less, because we only look at the... Oh, so therefore, according to the second shot, what is the three-way mach like? Is both the Tanakama and Reb Lezer all hold that when it comes to, start again, that Tanakama, even though we heard that this person says, I have in mind the shame of Avodah Zarah, says the Tanakama, I could care less that he has in mind the shame of Avodah Zarah. I, Bifnim, we say that you have to be concerned about the position, machshava, the machshava of the Baalim, but that's only Bifnim. And Chut Bifnim, lo yofinan. Rabbi Lezer said, no, yes, yofinan. Just like I rechenzach with the Baalim's machshava in the Beis Mikdash, you have to rechenzach now outside the Beis Mikdash. And Rabbi Yoyi says, you never care about what the Baalim have in mind. Your nish. Who cares what you have to say? We only worry about machshava only by the oyved and not by the Baalim.
Why would you say about Kula? Why is Kula?